Chapter 25. Ill News. Gales howled around the position of the Legio Solaria. There were only the nine of them up in their mountain eyrie. Escher Ani Mohana's maniple, and a handful of Titans orphaned by the destruction of their own units. Arrayed around the sides of an ancient landslip, like votive statuettes placed on haphazard shelves, they rocked in the moaning wind. The gale called strange voices from the machine's limbs, leaving the crew, trapped in the claustrophobic confines of the god engines, with the eerie feeling of a haunting. Escher listened to the voices wail. They disquieted her not at all, but the same could not be said for all her warriors.
"They are ghost voices,"
said Jefenir Jahan into the sepulchral quiet of the cellar.
"The lost souls of god engines slain in the conflict have attached themselves to the living. They want the warmth of our reactors."
"Who told you this?"
said Yaha Yaha, her voice high with incredulity. They were all gloveless and helmless, waiting for a battle that might never come. Jefenir shrugged.
"Locals,"
she said, as if that explained it, though the opportunities to meet any of the world's inhabitants were so limited as to be non-existent.
"It's the Cathedra Telepathica. All those witches in one place. They wear the walls of reality thin. The warp is not far away."
She glanced sidelong at the empty station of Mephani Ohana. There had been no replacement for her. What few crew the Legio had to spare came only from destroyed engines. There had been no new recruits for over a year, and the members of the Legio, finding themselves bereft of a post, had been sent to bolster the efforts on Beta Garmin II. Mephani Ohana's communications bench had been cleaned, but it was impossible to get all the blood out under wartime conditions. The whole station needed disassembly. Then there was no time for that. Bits of her clung to the machinery where she had spent so much of her life. The area around her console smelled of counterseptic that could not entirely hide the scent of blood. Escher betrayed no sign of movement, but her attention followed Jefenir's to the dead woman's seat. Her own wounds ached as she looked upon the empty chair. Neither she nor Domine Ex Venari had fully recovered from the neuroslave attack.
"What do you know about the warp?"
said Yaha Yaha.
"A lot more than I did when this war started. I thought..."
"Don't think,"
snapped Yaha Yaha.
"Watch. Keep your eyes open and your mind closed."
Jefenir looked sullen.
"Yes, Moderati Primus," she said.
Escher stayed out of their argument. She breathed deeply of the stale air. Jefenir had a point. There was something odd about the location. When Escher was in the machine's mind, it barely affected her. But out of it, she felt light-headed and hunted, as if she were being watched. She pulled an irritated face. She was falling for the same insane superstitions ripping through the Imperial side. Talk of ghosts and demons and wicked things living on the other side of thought. Hers were wars of steel and fire, not magic. The things that swam in the Imperium were real, objectively so, but though nightmarish, they were also real enough to kill. They were just an exotic form of xeno-organism, that was all, and therefore worthy of contempt. The wind blew hard in challenge of her thoughts, screaming outrage through the cabling of the Titan. The princeps shifted her eyes to one of the brightest points in the head, a bank of small notification lights that flickered lazily with each of the more powerful gusts. The storm's rain was laden with corrosive salts, blasted up from the dead plains. Omega-6 had modulated the void shields to keep the worst of it out, but voids were poor protection against so feeble a force as the wind. Most of it got through, along with its caustic cargo, and the alkalis were slowly but surely eating their way into Domine Ex Venari's body. It would take centuries to compromise the Titan's armor plating, but the cabling was vulnerable. Though hyperplastic and banded plasteel protected the large pipes leading to the weapons and the major joints, they had large surface areas, and many joins whose seals would not hold up forever. The hydraulics would be all right for weeks, she thought, but maybe not the electrical cabling, fine as it was and so diffusely spread throughout the giant machine. The lights showed the status of the motive force current through wires ranging from man-thick to hair-thin. Green for hail insulation, amber for minor intermittent shorts, red for short-circuited. Of the dozens of little lumens, a handful were green. A lot flickered between green and amber. None as yet were red. She squeezed the armrests of her command throne beside the never-used manual controls. There were little dimples from the many times she had done it before, always when waiting for battle. Years of her frustrations had left saggy areas in the leather, topped with white half-moon scars where her nails had pressed. On an impulse, she depressed the vox switch by the motivator throttle on her left armrest.
"Maniple, announce yourselves," she said.
She was not linked into the machine. Domine ex Venari slept through the storm, facing into the rain like an Agricola bovid. Escher Anni Mohana relied purely on the vox to communicate. Technology eons old, used by the humblest soldiers of the Imperium. Her titans responded in order of hierarchy. Her maniple first, then the strays attached to her command. With each princeps, she held a short conversation. Little was to be said beyond matters of lights blinking from green to amber and voices on the wind. They were all as bored and tense as she was. As Escher held her brief conference, Jeffenir whispered a request for permission to leave the Zella to Yahar-Yahar, who granted it. She came back before Escher's roll call was finished, bearing mugs of scalding recaf for them all. They sat in silence, sipping the overheated liquid. A plasma reactor was useful for many things, but harnessing its exhaust to do something as simple as boil water for beverages required a certain level of skill. They were natural hunters, all, but additional training was required for the crew before they were let loose on the atrium kettle. Without access to Domine ex Venari's senses, and the small window over the auger lenses of the eyes shuttered against the storm, Escher relied on the Zella's internal screen for a view to the outside. When the last princeps' voice clicked away, she stared at it. From where they were stationed, they had a good view of the Cathedra Telepathica's base. The scale of the structure amplified the feelings of otherworldly power that surrounded it. The Cathedra Telepathica was rooted in the mountain's top. However high the original peak was, it could not have compared with mankind's improvement on geology. The needles speared the sky, the tallest man-made structure in the entire subsector. They could see only the lowest reaches of its smooth sides. Alkali clouds obscured the rest, but one had an impression of its size by the thickness of the shaft. The top was as slender as a blade, and cut into the airless void. At the base it was 3 miles thick, a monstrous, featureless grey, made of an exotic combination of various cretes, no window to break the smooth surface, nor any other mark besides. In construction, it was 2 tall triangles, intersecting each other in a cruciform cross-section, rising up as a hollow-sided pyramid. Its only other feature was the forests of hawsers, thicker than titans were tall, that descended from the heavens. They were anchored to giant plugs driven far into Beta Garmin III's hide, all around the mountain. But from the Legio's perspective, these anchor points were not visible, and the cables seemed like spears rammed home into the world. Every 300 meters on the hawser's lengths, a warning beacon shone. Every hawser had dozens of them, so that a shoal of red lights thronged the sky, bright and unwavering, like predators' eyes. Escher let her gaze rise up the hawsers. Simple trigonometry gave her an idea of the needle's height. The Cathedra Telepathica was so high, and the anchor ring so far above the cloud layer, that the hawsers were virtually parallel to the shaft of the tower. Somewhere, dozens of kilometres up, was the Astropathic Temple itself. Escher had observed it as they descended from orbit. Seemingly small atop the spire that supported it, the temple was in fact large enough to house a relay choir of 1,000 astropaths, and all their attendants. "There are not many sights I have seen that made me feel small when in command of a titan," Escher Anni Mohana said quietly. "That temple is one of them."
Yeah, well, the bigger they come.
Yahya said with a shrug. Jeffania scowled at her.
Don't say such ill-favoured things, says the lady with the ghost fixation, said the Moderati Primus. Anyway, I outrank you, so I can say what I like.
A chime from the oratorius desk interrupted the argument before it could become heated. Being cooped up in the head without the harmony of the MIU was testing for them all. Yaha leaned back from her chair and glanced at Mafani Ohana's station. She looked up at Esher.
Priority message for you alone. Region Command. I'll take it in the atrium, she said. Cease your arguments, both of you. Run weapons and systems checks with the Moderati Bellatus. If the enemy come, I want to be ready.
She looked out across the barren, rain-lashed mountainsides displayed upon the vidscreen. Yellow streams boiled down gullies. Toxic mist hurried over knife-edge ridges to wherever they were going. The terrain was poor ground for Titan conflict.
If they come, she said,
and headed out into the atrium. She sat herself at the chart desk, keyed in her ident code, and set the device to hololithic communications. A light sculpture of Risan Modano coalesced into being from a cloud of dancing motes. The transmission was restricted to a haughty face atop shoulders, so that he appeared like a bad holographic memorial bust of the kind sold to civilians on post-compliance worlds. He was Princeps Signores of the Warp Runners, who, by dint of having the most Titans on the mountain, was in overall command. Escher had fought with him at Hansu Hive several weeks before. She didn't like him. She got the impression he didn't like her. He had a weak chin. She never trusted men with weak chins.
"Ah," he said, as if surprised to see her. "I have a spot of bad news, I'm afraid."
Esher's heart clenched. She feared for her mother.
"Beta Garmin too? Nearcon?" she said.
Modano laughed lightly, a meaningless, practiced, aristocratic pleasantry that set her teeth on edge.
"Oh, well, no, not really. The battle proceeds there, as far as I am aware. No, it's here, Beta Garmin 3. It looks like we've been rather outmanoeuvred. The traitors have launched an attack on Caldera City. I wouldn't be surprised if this whole thing at Nearcon wasn't a ruse. I did vote against it myself, but
how many?"
Escher cut across him. Modano had a tendency to prattle on.
"Oh, steady on, old girl. I am in command here," he said, bristling.
He recovered his mask of amiability quickly.
"It's a major attack.
His image broke up suddenly, disintegrating into a shower of firefly sparks. They whirled about in an abortive attempt to make some other picture that Escher had a sudden and sincere desire not to see. She adjusted the machine's settings. Modano did not return.
"I've lost you. I repeat, I've lost you. Please remodulate projection parameters for heavy interference."
Nothing for a moment. Then shortly Modano reappeared, as icily affable as ever.
"Sorry about that. Hololiths, eh? Cast an image instantaneously across a planetary system, but get a bit of weather in the way."
"You were saying? Enemy strength?"
"I was, wasn't I? Major. Large elements of the Sons of Horus traitor legion. Several Titan legios."
All his Titans were supposed to be at Nearcon.
"Well, then, it rather appears we underestimated his strength. I'm ordering half of our Titans to make for Caldera at all speed. If they push their reactors, they'll be there before nightfall tomorrow. This bloody weather will slow them down, but give them fine cover from the traitor fleet. It looks like we've been caught out. Horus wants Caldera."
"Why?" said Escher. "What benefit is there to him in taking the planetary capital?"
"Why? To stake claim to this whole system. If he takes Caldera, that leaves our boys at Beta Garmin 3 a touch out of luck. Once he has control over Caldera, Beta Garmin 3 will fall, and Nearcom will most likely hold against our attack. We'll be driven out of the system, and the traitors will have a clear run at the throne world. Needless to say, I'd prefer not to be the chap that lets that happen. History is always cruel to men who make mistakes. You're staying here. Your little troop of hunters is perfect to hold this terrain, but I'm sending the heavy hitters over to Caldera immediately."
"I don't think you should," said Escher.
The wind blew louder. Domine ex Venari shook. The voices whispered entreaties to her.
Why on earth not?
What if it's another feint?
Another feint?
To draw us away from here. The diviner's needle is the chief link we have to Terra. Madano's grainy features pulled in, and he shook his head.
Communications denial? I don't think the needle is worth his time. Not for that. Besides, since the warp storms blew out, we can get through without this relay. No, I believe he wants to consolidate his hold here. Let his men have an easy passage. Neocon was a feint. Caldera Primus is the true target. Besides, he has no more Titans. This is it. He's committed his reserves. What kind of leader indulges in a double feint for a target of low value?
One who bears the title War Master, she said flatly.
With all due respect, Huntress, you are wrong.
At least contact the Primarch Sanguinius, she said.
Why? For this? Not every battle is a match of cunning. Sometimes, and especially in engine war, brute force is the key to victory. He has shown us his hand. We should respond with a fist. My orders stand. Madano out!
The image collapsed, plunging the atrium back into gloom. She sat there while the hololith sang its drawn-out song of deactivation, a plunging note that took forever to die. Adani Jahan pulled herself out of the right-hand weapons deck, yawning widely and scratching at her head.
"I woke you,"
said Esher. She regretted it. She did not foresee much rest in their future.
"It doesn't matter."
Adani leaned on the worktop by the Titan's tiny galley kitchen opposite Esher.
"What was all that about?"
"The end of the world, maybe," she said. She got up.
"Eat. Prepare yourself."
She checked her wrist chrono. "We enter the manifold in 25 minutes. The enemy are attacking Caldera Primus. If I'm right, it won't be long before they're here, too."